Welcome to the Sermon Podcast for Northwest Baptist Church. We hope you hear from God in this week's message.
Mike Crawford is like, this is going to sound real weird because he's sitting right now in the pews, like the dude I want to be when I'm his age. When I met him and we both found out, like, he's from Cali, I'm from Baltimore, right? And then he went to a seminary with many of my former mentors in California went to. He came over here, but he still loves Cali, so he wears a beanie all year round because he bald-headed like I do, because bald heads still get cold, okay? And then I went to Cali and came back. When I met, I was like, yeah, this is my guy. It's like my spirit animal, like 10 years older than me. Yes. And the brother can preach. I'm like, and he's stylish, right? I'm just like, 10 years from now, I'm trying to be that guy. Okay. Then secondly, because he wears multiple hats in the BCMD, the Baptist Convention of Maryland, Delaware, he just got voted in as the new executive director of our state convention. So I'm like, that's my homie, that's my big homie, and that's the boss man. Yeah! All right, so if you wouldn't mind, give a round of applause for Pastor Mike Crawford. Love you, sir.
All right. Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here. It's good to be back. And I'm definitely would be Chris's older brother, Chris's older fat brother. And I'm definitely Chris's older brother because I got gray all over. But it's a pleasure to be here. It was good to be here last time I was here. And want you to know that you have been on my heart, that we pray for you guys regularly. And we count on you guys to be who you always have been and who you are, a church that loves the Lord and a church that is a participatory church, a church that's serious about discipleship and loving one another and being a light. And as I was up here just looking around at the things you've written on the wall and experiencing your worship, it's just a good reminder to be here. And you know, maybe one of the first things I'll do coming this Monday, since I'm the boss, is if you guys want me to do anything with Chris, you know what I mean? If he needs some discipline or anything like that, maybe I'll go over and above to make sure it happens, you know? So you can just drop those in the box as well, those suggestions that you need for Chris, and we'll take them into consideration. Of course, I'm kidding. And so one of the things that's really exciting too is, you know, you often hear you can do more together than you can alone. One of the things I'm excited about taking this servant position as executive director is just working with 400 plus churches to kind of renew our mission, renew our vision collectively together for our two-state convention, to make sure that every church has what it needs to do the will of God where God's called it to do it, and to make sure that we're continuing to inspire and equip and resource churches to do that very thing. One of those announcements that you had up there was the Annie Armstrong offering. And as a man who came out here to plant a church 13 years ago in Baltimore City, that church has planted a church called Freedom Church Windsor Mill, which has also planted Love Light City there in Lansdowne. I'm passionate, of course, about not only strong churches, starting churches, but that whole collective being together. So Annie Armstrong means a lot to me. Because having worked at the BCMD and at the North American Mission Board for Sin Network, we know that the majority of the funds that we're able to provide for church planters, their wives and their families to start churches in Maryland, Delaware, comes from the Annie Armstrong offering. Last year, I don't know if you know this, even in the midst of COVID, there was some worry. 2020 Annie Armstrong offering was way down because COVID hit. But last year's offering was a record offering in the midst of all of these things. And it's because of people like you and churches like you. And you may think sometimes, well, what do I have to give? And we're reminded of Jesus' words that sometimes it's not how much you give, but it's the spirit in which you give. And so we want to encourage you to be in prayer. And also, as God leads you guys to give to that, we're looking forward to doing that. This morning, I'd like to address you from Psalm 46:1, a great assurance in times of trouble. A great assurance in times of trouble. And if someone could remind me, I see that Chris is very open and very, very open. That makes me comfortable, so I can feel like I'm at home at Freedom Church and just ask questions what I don't know. I forgot what version of Bible you guys use, because I don't want to be stoned in here. You know what I mean? CSV. CSB. All right. Very good. Okay. So I'll just use the opposite. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I don't even know if I have that one on here, but I'll see. But y'all have it up here. Yes, I do. We got it rolling. Very good. All right, so what I want to do is I want us to pray specifically because the text I've chosen is familiar, but also it's a text that is much needed, I think especially in times like these. But what I really would like to happen this morning is for us to experience this text. And I'm not going to do anything weird, so don't get nervous, but I would like us to actually experience this text, so I'd like to pray with you to ask God that this word would not just be an intellectual exercise of teaching and preaching, but that especially those of you who are online and those of you who are present, who are currently going through a time of trouble, would not only know this, but experience it right now. That you would leave here knowing that the words of Psalm 46:1 are true and that God is for you. And as we do this, many of you have relatives and friends and family members, people in this church and outside of this church that are in significant trouble. I know I do. And so we can bring them to the throne of grace too. Let's pray. Lord, as we come near to you and we draw near to you, we know that we need you so much, and we need you to speak, and we need your spirit to do things that we cannot do. You know where we're hurt and we need to be healed. You know where we're astray and we need to be brought back. You know where it's dark in our souls and we need light, where we're weak and we need strength, where we're uninspired and we need to be inspired, where we haven't heard your voice and we need to hear your voice. Where we felt alone and abandoned and like you're not close to us and we need your presence. So we would ask for all of those things this morning. And we know we're an unworthy people, but because of the death and the resurrection and the current session of Jesus, you've made us your people. And we know, Spirit, that you're here and you're moving. God, as we draw near to you, we're conscious that we're sinners, so we confess our sins, and we're reminded that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us. We pray for our president, his cabinet, the Senate, and the Congress, the judicial branch, and our governor, our mayors, all those in authority, Lord, would you be merciful to them and grant them repentance and clarity and a spirit of justice and just courage to lead in a way that you've called them to. We're very conscious of all the things that are going all over around the world, in the Ukraine, but all over the world. We know we have brothers and sisters, not only in Ukraine, but all over the world. And some are in perilous situations right now. We pray that you would provide for them. Lord, we ask you to show up and to do something special with each and every person. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The text reads, God is our refuge and strength, a helper who is always found in times of trouble. God is our refuge and strength, a helper who is always found in times of trouble. This verse is a great insurance in times of trouble. I would define trouble, in essence, is as a disruption of a state of being where you're experiencing measurable disturbances. And those things can be outside of you or inside of you. When you encounter trouble, it's a disturbance. Things are one way, and when the trouble comes, those things change. It's kind of like being in Maryland. As Pastor Chris mentioned, I'm from California where the weather's always the same. You don't have to worry about a thunderstorm. And when we do, the whole state shuts down because we never see water. So we always think the world's ending when it rains there. But here you can be sitting outside with a 5-degree wind out of the north, and it's 72 degrees, and 2 minutes later it's 30-mile-an-hour winds, and it's about to snow. That's called a disturbance. Now, for a small minority of you, you're used to it and it doesn't bother you, but for me, it still bothers me. I start to think that those movies made about the cataclysmic end of the world are true when you live in Maryland. But a trouble, in essence, is a disruption of a state of being, and it can be outside of you or inside of you. There are different types of trouble. There's trouble that you make, because we always be thinking about providence. You know, my cousin has cancer, or my mother died of diabetes. We think about the trouble outside of us, but there's trouble that we make, right? I mean, we can make trouble, right? We can make bad decisions and say things we shouldn't and get around people we shouldn't be. We can make our own trouble. As if there's not enough trouble in the world, we go about making more trouble. And we're really good at making trouble. And some people are committed to making trouble. And then there's trouble that other people make for you. It had nothing to do with you. They just brought it upon you. It was their decisions and their behaviors. And then it seems like sometimes, no matter how you're living, trouble finds you. And it seems like you can't get away from trouble. Seems like as many devices and mechanisms and things you put in your life to avoid trouble, you just can't escape it. It tends to find you. You're humming along in life and trouble finds you. It's an announcement. It's a phone call. It's a flat tire. It's an accident. It's a news flash. And we know that trouble comes in all shapes and sizes. It can be a bone spur in your big toe that just annoys you. It could be a headache that you're wondering whether it's something serious or minor. It could be something that you think, am I sick or is it allergies? It could be all shapes and sizes. They can come in packages where this trouble costs a whole lot of money and you don't have it. Troubles come in all shapes and sizes, and they're very, very diverse. And we know this, that trouble is prevalent and it's certain. It's everywhere, in everything, and it's inescapable. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. And it's remarkable because we're constantly trying to come up with ways to avoid trouble. And sometimes I think it's kind of, we're like back in Genesis 10 where we're trying to create not a Tower of Babel, but a tower that is an antibiotic for trouble. You know, if we do enough of the right things and we eat enough of the right things and we take the enough of the right vaccines and we do all these types of things, somehow we'll avoid trouble. And still we seem to find trouble. Because trouble is prevalent and certain in this age. It's everywhere, in everything, and it's inescapable. And the moment you start to believe that, ha, I found a space, a relationship, a time, a season, a church, a group, a sermon, a pastor, a denomination, an Instagram account that has no trouble. Just wait a little bit. It's coming. We know that. My wife and I have a joke that whenever God allows us to make a little extra money from her business or from some side project I'm doing, we always smile at each other and say, that's already spoken for. And those of us who live long enough know the truth about that. We have all these grand plans for what we're going to do. And God's like, I got a plan too. And it involves something breaking. It involves something happening in a family. It involves something, some need in the church. Because trouble's always around, but so is God. Trouble's always around, but God is in the midst of it. And you know, brothers and sisters, when you think about God and the Bible and trouble, the Bible is just one big book that only has two chapters that has no trouble in it. Until you get to the very end, and then there's a couple chapters with no trouble in it. So out of the hundreds of chapters of the Bible, there's only four or five chapters that don't have no trouble in it. And they're in the very beginning and the very end. The rest of the Bible is just trouble. It's all trouble. And the good news today is it's all trouble, but God keeps showing up to deal with the trouble. It's all trouble, but God's in the midst of the trouble. It's all trouble, but God is delivering his people sometimes out, but through the trouble. The Bible's just a big book about trouble. And the greatest trouble happened in Genesis chapter 3, and it is the mother and father of all of our troubles. And we know that God ultimately solved that when Jesus was born. He lived a righteous life, and he died on the cross and was raised from the dead. He solved the greatest trouble, which is not a virus, which is not a war, which is not economic inequity, which is not racism, but it is the fruit of sinfulness embedded in humanity, passed down from generation to generation. On that cross and with that resurrection, God began that great redemption, that rearranging of the order, and he's promised us that one day there will be no trouble. There's not going to be any more death or war or tears. But the Bible is just a book of God's people getting into trouble and God showing up and helping them out of trouble. And as I thought about this verse, Psalm 46:1, it's a short verse. It's a somewhat famous verse. It's such a great assurance for us in times of trouble, and here's why. The verse says, God is our refuge and strength, a helper who is always found in times of trouble. Why is this such a great assurance for us in times of trouble? Because God is the one who helps us in our time of trouble. Now, you know, we bought a house in Baltimore City when we moved out here 13 years ago because we wanted to plant a church in the city zip code, and work with people in the city. And we bought an older house, so you know it comes with older houses, right? Older problems. And we've got a lot of problems, a lot of things. And we sometimes tune in those shows and watch people fix houses in 30 minutes. And the problem is I wasn't born a man of hands. I ain't like Esau, I'm more like Jacob. I was born wearing a bow tie and being very cerebral, where my brothers were men of the field with cars and tools, so I can't fix nothing. I can YouTube it, but I can't fix it. I can paint a little bit, but I can't fix nothing. So you know, when something breaks in your house, it's pretty common for people to say, well, you know, I've got a leak. Do you know a plumber? If you're a really hardcore Christian, you want a Christian plumber. You sometimes would rather have a guy in your house who has a cross on his van and can't fix the plumbing rather than have a guy who can fix the plumbing with no cross. I want a good plumber, not just a Christian plumber. I want a good plumber, because last time I checked, the leaks don't listen if you Christian or not Christian. They still got to get fixed. I'm just saying. I want a good plumber. When your electrical stuff is going bad, you need a good electrician. When your roof is leaking, you want to know, well, who's a good roofer? When something breaks on your back door, you want to say, well, do we have a contractor that can fix these things? And you really want somebody who can come in who's competent. And then if you're like us, you know, you get talked into buying those insurance plans on your house. And then you call them out and they don't do nothing. And then you call in another person and they tell you that they didn't do nothing. And yet you're paying them to do something. You had a time of trouble, you needed help, and you called someone to help you and they didn't help you. The good news about this verse is that God's not like us. He's not incompetent. He's not without skills. He's not without power. He's not without resources. He's not without experience. Do you guys realize that for a human being to get good at something, they've got to do it for a long time? You realize that, right? I mean, if your son needed surgery and you took him in to get surgery and the surgeon walked in and says, you know, I've never done a surgery before, but I'm really excited. How excited would you be? If your mother needed a transfusion and you walked in and the person said, you know, I've never done this before, but you'll be my first. If you had a cavity, would you go to a dentist and say, oh, I've never done this before, but you'll be my first? No, we all want the person with 20 or 30 years experience. Why? Because they tend to have built a level of competency. Well, my, God's been fixing problems for thousands of years. He's really good at it. It's what he does. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Is there any problem that God hasn't seen? Is there any predicament that God goes, oh no, I've never seen that before. Oh wow, look at these humans and how they're acting, and look at this knot that they've tied up with sin and all these consequences and complications. What shall I ever do? When we read the Bible, we see a God who has woven himself through human history and through all of our problems. And God has never met a problem that he cannot solve, because he's God. He's got all the resources, all the wisdom, all the knowledge, all the power. He's got eternality. He has, he was, he is to come. There's nothing lacking in God, so that you can bring any problem you need or want to God. And God's like, oh, I know that. I've seen that. I fixed that before. This is a great assurance because it says God is our refuge and strength, a helper who is always found in times of trouble. But secondly, it's a great assurance, not only because God is the one who helps us in our trouble, but because God is always present in our trouble. It says God is. That's present tense. It says God is our refuge, not he will be when you get in trouble. It says he is right now. You say, well, I don't feel like I'm in trouble. No worries, God is. You say, well, I don't know that the trouble is draining me of strength right now. No worry, God is. A helper who is always found in times of trouble. Last time I checked, always means always. Amen. Always is a word that'll get you in trouble if you're married. Right? Yeah. You say, you always. That means you always, you don't ever, but always. So we don't use that word in marriage. But when it comes to God, the psalmist says, God is our refuge and strength, a helper who is always found in times of trouble. Why is this a great assurance? Because God is always present in our trouble. And you know, brothers and sisters, especially as you get older, some of you who are younger in the crowd right now, this isn't as important to you, but mark my words. Remember the crazy, bald California guy that was Pastor Chris's older brother. A little better looking, but you know what I'm saying? It is what it is. Just remember, he told you, young man and young woman, that there will come a day that you will value presence over productivity. There will come a day where you will value someone sitting by your side and saying nothing rather than some Instagram or YouTube post. Presence is really important. If you don't believe that, ask David. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. If you don't believe me, you ask Daniel when he was in the lion's den and God showed up. You ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the angel of the Lord showed up. You ask Hagar, who was out there in the plains, starving, watching her child die, who she left over there and walked over here, and she gave God the name, Thou art El Roy, the God who sees. Presence is important. God shows up, and he's just there. In my deepest times of trouble, all I've really ever wanted is for somebody to just be there. You don't always have to say nothing, because there's a time to be in someone's life and say nothing. Remember, you got one mouth and two ears, not two mouths and one ear. So when you show up, you can bless somebody by using two ears and just listening, just being present, just that they know they're there. One of my dear friends that I met when I moved out here 13 years ago is Brother Dan Hyun. I believe he's been here, right? Has he been here or is he coming?
No, he came.
He came, all right. And you may have heard that his daughter, Tabitha, got leukemia. We've been in an ever-present battle and praying for her. One day I was thinking about how we might bless them, thinking about this verse that one of the reasons why it's such a great assurance is because God is always present. And so I did something kind of a Christian stalker-esque thing. Now, don't do what I'm doing, because y'all will get in trouble if you do this. Somebody will listen. I'm going to do that, and you're going to get arrested. What I did was I drove up right in front of his house, and I parked. And I didn't tell him I was there. And I just sat for 30 minutes, and I prayed over the house, and I prayed for his wife, and I prayed for his children, and I prayed for the doctors, and I was just there. It wasn't until later that I had told him that I had done that. I just wanted to be present. Sometimes I've just showed up with people and for people at the hospital, and even though they say, oh, Pastor Mike's here, do you want to pray? Do you want to say something? I don't want to pray. I don't want to say nothing. I just want that person to know I showed up. I just want them to know that I was there. Well, my brothers, my sisters, be assured that God is present. Now, here's the trouble and the problem we got. When we get in a lot of problems, it's hard for us to see God, right? Now, we really honest, when we get into trouble and problem, the first thing we think that happened is God is gone. Because, see, we have this concept that God is only there when things are going good. We actually say stuff like, oh, my life is blessed. God's so up in my life right now. I'm blessed, and this is blessed, and this is blessed. And we think blessing is the only evidence of God's presence. But what does this verse say? This verse says God shows up when there's trouble. That's what makes our God so attractive. The God of this world and the God that humans create, and they create all kind of churches and religious establishments, he only shows up to win. He only shows up when you're in the lead. He only shows up when you get titles and everything's great. But our God is amazing. He's Emmanuel. He is present in our deepest and darkest times. He's present when we're lonely, when we're depressed, when we're doubting, when we're shifty, when we're saying, I don't even know if I believe this anymore. And there is God. He's always there. But thirdly, this is a great assurance because God is ours in our trouble. It says God is our refuge and strength. A helper is always found in times of trouble. And here we get into the personalness of God. He's our God. You know, Christianity is very personal. You can go to church and hear these things and believe them and sit here and make sure your life is devoid of some of those greater cataclysmic type sins. But that doesn't necessarily mean you have a relationship with God. It might mean that you've just subscribed to a religious belief system, a way of living. But Christianity is deeply personal. Jesus died to save you, to put you in a relationship with him. In the garden, God came walking in the cool of the day, and after our father and our mother, Adam and Eve, had sinned, they were doing what? They were hiding from God. It was God who said, where are you? It was them who said, we're hiding. It was God who brought them out back to do relationship. And the Bible says that Christ was in the world reconciling the world back to himself. This is highly relational. So it's one thing for me to be conscious that God is your God. It's another thing for me to be conscious that God is my God. Because, you know, if he's your God, that's good for you. But I need to be assured that he's my God too. And this verse assures me that he is our refuge, our personal refuge in times of trouble. Fourthly, this is a great assurance for us in times of trouble because God is a refuge in trouble. And you know, a refuge is somewhere you can go and you can get a kind of little bit of a break from the trouble. A refuge could be something as simple as an umbrella in this Maryland rain. Because when it rain out here, you get wet. You know what I mean? Like, you ain't no sprinkles. You can go from Starbucks to the car and look like you went swimming. But that umbrella provides a refuge. I remember one time we went to a summer camp with my oldest daughter. We're in Nebraska. And I had never been to Nebraska. And you know, Nebraska has tornadoes. And I don't mess with tornadoes. Tornadoes are crazy. And we had a tornado warning. And they had these places where you'd go in the buildings and these shelters that you'd go under down there for refuge. Places where the tornado can't get to. Places that were built for these number five tornadoes, these 200 mile, and you go in there for refuge until the warning was gone. This is what you would do. Refuge. Our God is a refuge. He is a person where you can go and you can finally take a deep breath because you're in the Father's hand. You know what trouble does? It stirs up all kinds of anxiety and it messes with you. I don't know if you've really thought about this, but when we experience trouble, brothers and sisters, we experience that in our bodies, don't we? I always know when trouble's getting to me because I get to this point to where I'm like a cup of water that's full and anything pushes it over. Somebody asks me a question and I'm like annoyed with them. I'm like, why am I annoyed? They just asked me a question. That's how I know I'm full of trouble. Trouble is very distracting, and we begin to obsess over it, and it affects us physiologically. It takes over our brains, and it's all we can think about. It hijacks our emotions and all of our being, and it says, you must be about me. You got to think about me. You got to worry about me. You got to obsess about me. You got to stop eating, or you got to start eating a lot. You got to stop watching TV, or you just got to binge Netflix. Trouble is this obsessive thing, and what our souls need is a place to go for refuge, a place where we can go and rest. Remember Jesus said, who's the ultimate refuge? Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. It's a refuge. He's a refuge. And our souls often need refuge in our times of trouble. Let me commit this truth to you, brothers and sisters, that we live in a world where we're human beings, all of us, have more access to the world than we've ever had. And by when I say world, I don't mean that as some staunchy, fundamentalist Baptist term. I just mean that as accessibility. I mean that the world has its remedies, its prescriptions for refuge as well. But those things aren't the same as God being our refuge. Those things are to be differentiated between who God is and what the world is offering. And lastly, this is a great assurance because God is our strength in times of trouble. It says God is our refuge and strength. And when we're going through trouble, we get weak, we get drained, we get tired. We begin to wonder, what exactly is going on? And I don't know if you've known it, realize it, but you just get worn down. It's just what happens. And God's our strength. Now, when we hear this term, brothers and sisters, I know we thinking like, well, God's my strength. That means I can get up and run a mile. Well, I don't encourage you to do that unless you want to be in the ER. And if you call me, Pastor, pray for me. I'm in the ER. I got up. I felt I was strong. I ran a mile. I'm going to say, you was a fool. You should have started by walking 10 minutes a day for 6 months. Right? Your body wasn't ready. Have you ever considered what real strength is, though? Because when we think about strength, again, we all watching too much Netflix and movies and stuff. Olympics and everything's heroic and all these amazing little 3-4 minute videos of this person with one leg doing this. We're like, oh my gosh, it's so amazing. I changed my mind on what strength is after considering these things. Strength is just the ability to do what God told you to do. The strongest person in this room may be the person who woke up this morning and said, I don't want to go to church. I don't feel like it. I don't want to offer a praise. I'm doubting this morning. The strongest person in this room may be the person who got up and put on their clothes and they didn't want to get up and put on their clothes. They got up and prayed even though they didn't want to pray. They found the strength to eat a little something maybe and they weren't even really that hungry. They found the strength to get in their cars and to drive over here to the church. And then they suddenly also found the strength to actually say hi to somebody and crack a smile where there wasn't a smile internally. And then they found the strength to sit down here. And when the worship team said to stand up, this is the same person who says, I don't even think I want to go. And now they're standing up. And they start off kind of mumbling, and before you know it, now they're kind of singing. And they weren't going to engage in the prayer, and now they are. And they weren't going to read the preamble, and then they did. And they weren't going to be here, and they weren't going to be online. Now they are. And now they find themselves doing that which they thought, I don't even know if I was going to do that. You know what I call that? I call that strength. Strength isn't always showing out and preaching to thousands of people and having all these people saved. Strength is getting up in the morning and still saying, God, I love you. Strength is just uttering a prayer. Strength is what the thief on the cross said, remember me in your kingdom. Strength is the ability to do God's will, even if it don't really look that good. That's what strength is. It's just to show up. It's just to say, Lord, here I am again. Not many mighty, not many noble according to the flesh, but in your power and by your spirit, I'm here again. Here are my few loaves and my few fish. They're not enough, but I present them in your strength. That's what it means to be strong, and God is our strength. So we bring this to a close. You know, for me, I'm a pragmatist, so I think about messages like this, and I think, okay, yeah, Michael, but your own personal soul. You know, one of the ways I apply this is I listen to music. Now, I wasn't born in a Christian home. I spent 18 years in the world. And when I mean in the world, I mean in the world. I was a SoCal guy, LA guy, Santa Monica Beach guy, raised in Malibu, California, around a lot of rich people who had access to everything you could ever imagine. Guy. No Christianity, no Bible, no religion, no nothing in my family. Just complete pagan narcissism, materialism, wealthism, sex, all that stuff. But I like music. And when I got saved, I went to a Christian college and all the kids stood up and I was like, why are they standing up? And then they started singing songs I didn't know because I didn't know them songs. I was an 80s kid, so I knew 80s pop and I knew 80s rap music. I knew that, but I didn't know Christian songs. But they began to capture my heart. So for me, one of the ways that I apply a verse like this and remind my soul of this is songs. One of my favorite songs in this category is called Another in the Fire by Hillsong. I'm not your worship leader, and I'm just Pastor Chris' old, forgotten brother. But I encourage you guys to sing that song. I'm going to read a few verses out of that song. There's a grace when the heart is under fire, another way when the walls are closing in. And when I look at the space between where I used to be and this reckoning, I know I will never be alone. There was another in the fire standing next to me. There was another in the waters holding back the seas. And should I ever need reminding of how I've been set free, there's a cross that bears the burden where another died for me. It's beautiful, isn't it? The bridge says, and I can see the light in the darkness as the darkness bows to him. I can hear the roar in the heavens as the space between wears thin. I can feel the ground shake beneath us as the prison's walls cave in. Nothing stands between us. Nothing stands between us. There is no other name but the name that is Jesus. He who was and still is and will be through it all. So come what may in the space between all the things unseen in this reckoning, I know I'll never be alone. There's another song that I love. It's an older song. It's a song I used to play a lot when we first planted Freedom Church by Casting Crowns. It's called Praise You in the Storm. I've tried listening to this song for the last 13 years without crying. I could never make it through. It makes me cry just to read the first few lines, which say, I was sure by now, God, you would have reached out and wiped our tears away. stepped in and saved the day. And once again, I say amen. And it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear your whisper through the rain. I am with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. I'll praise you in the storms. What I'm suggesting to you, brothers and sisters, is that our God is our refuge and strength, the helper who is always found in times of trouble. But to put yourselves in a position to where you're reminded of those things, because we be forgetting stuff. You know that, right? We are forgetful people. People often say, what'd you think of that message? I said, I put the bat on the ball. Where it went, I know not. Only the Spirit knows. So it is our job to remind ourselves that God is our refuge and our strength, that he is our present help, always to be found in trouble. Because if you don't remind your soul of that, you will forget that. I would imagine that in a crowd this big, there's some deep waters some of you are treading in. I would imagine there's some deep trials you're going through. Before I got saved, as I said last time I was here, I was suicidal. Today they call it a mental health challenge. In a crowd this big, statistics would say at least one person, maybe more, had the thought that maybe it would be better if I wasn't here. You're in a time of trouble, and you need to hear that God is your refuge and strength, that God is with you in those deep waters of your mental state. I don't know what you're going through, and I'm not your pastor, but God knows what you're going through, and as I prayed about what I might bring, this ain't no old message, this is a new message. This is what I felt like God wanted me to say to you, and I don't believe in accidents. I was supposed to still be in California with my shorts on right now. Supposed to be planning to go out into the waters. But Jesus saved me. And I got a lot of Jonah in me. When God tells me to do something, I'm like, nope, ain't happening. And he always sends a whale and spits me out. And he spit me out in Baltimore City. And over a course of years, I got to know this church and your pastor. What are the odds that this is actually happening right now? It cannot be a coincidence that God wanted me to come here to remind you that he is your refuge and strength and can always be found in times of trouble. You know, this is true for the church as well, because not only do we go to individual challenges and problems, but we as a church encounter things as well. It could be financial, it could be things going on, but y'all need to remember as a church that God is always there for you as a body. Decades ago, some people put a shovel in the ground. Decades ago, somebody bought the land. Decades ago, someone was here in the building process. Decades ago, and there may very well be people who remember those days who are sitting here right now and go, yeah, I've been here for a long time. I've seen a lot of things. We've gone through a lot of challenges. But one thing's always true about this church. God is our refuge and our strength. He's always been there in our time of trouble. Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. You know, the world is in a lot of trouble. Y'all know that, right? And the world's gospel is to elect the right leader. How's that working out? The world's gospel is for us to all come together. How's that working out? The world's gospel is if we could just see eye to eye. How's that working out? The world's gospel is if we could raise taxes. How's that working out? The world's gospel is if we could lower taxes. How's that working out? The world's gospel is if we can get a conference and talk about it. How is that working out? If we could just sit out and talk, how's it working out? We're in a great deal of trouble. Some people would say we're in more trouble than we've ever been in, but we know this, we're exposed to more of the trouble than we've ever been in human history. We know about all the trouble, and the world's out there grasping for gospels, for saviors to save it, and they've got 1,000 of them that they present to you to save them, but we know there's only one. There's only one God who's our refuge and strength, and he will not be mocked, but he's available today. For any and everyone in any situation that you may be in, he's available right now. He is your strength. He is your refuge. He is ready to save. You know, when I think about this verse, I can't help but to think of a family that's really dear to my heart. When we planted Freedom, we had a family come in. And there's a mother right now. I was just texting her before the service and right before I came up. Her name is Shanika Young. She has 2 boys. One boy is Trey and the other boy is Sean. And Trey got diagnosed with leukemia when he was 13 years old. And he's had a battle for the last 7 or 8 years. It looked like it went away, now it's come back. Trey's currently at home right now, going through hospice care. They said, we've done all that we can do for you. And his mother is there, and she's watching her son die. I told her that I would mention her and her sons by name in front of all of you guys. Because one of the ways that God fulfills this verse is through his church. And I told her, when I tell them your name, and I tell them Trey's name, and I tell them Sean's name, and I tell them about what Trey's going through, they're going to pray for you. And she said, please pray, because Trey has gotten to the point where he can't get out of bed anymore. He just sleeps. That's all he does. There may be a family in here or people in here who know people like that who are going to some similar things. What would it look like for us to be the church that is present? Well, what would it look like for us to be the church that Peter had when he was locked in jail, where that church was praying for him incessantly? What would it look like to not have to have a ministry of love, but just to love? Not have to be told to show up and drop something off. You just do it. You don't have to be told to write a card. You just do it. You don't have to be told to send a text or told to make a phone call. You listen to the urging of the Spirit of the living God. And you say, God, is there anyone for whom I can go and be your representative, who I can be strong for, who I can be a refuge for, who I can show up in your presence so they'll know that you haven't forgotten about them? You know, the greatest trouble we have, brothers and sisters, is our own sin. And this verse applies, isn't it? This verse applies because God is always found in our time of trouble. And my greatest trouble is my sin. And God showed up in the midst of it, didn't he not? In the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so today, once again, those of us who've trusted in Jesus, we reaffirm our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we reaffirm that we are saved by grace through faith alone in what Jesus did alone. By being born of a virgin, living a righteous life which none of us can live, dying on the cross because that's what our sins deserve, taking the wrath of God and being raised again. That makes us right with God. That made us right. Not our goody-two-shoes stuff, not coming to church, not being a pastor, not leading BCMD, not learning Christianese. None of those things makes me right before God. It's only Christ's work. And the good news is it's accessible to anybody. The Bible says, whosoever believes shall be saved. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, how confused you are, how whatever state you are, if you call upon the name of the Lord today, he will be your strength and your refuge. He will show up. He will save you. May God do that great work. At this point, I'm going to call the band up, and I'm going to lead us in a time of prayer. And I'm going to commend you, brothers and sisters, at Northwest Baptist Church to the grace of God, which has birthed you, which is keeping you, and which is promised to you to take you from where you are at all the way home. I commend you to that grace which is able to keep you. And I commend you to the God who is a great strength and a great refuge and always able to be found in our times of trouble. Pray with me, please. Lord, thank you so much for this gentle and kind reminder of what a great assurance we have that you are always there. Lord, we know that there are many in this body. We spoke about Shanika and Trey and Sean, and we know that there are hundreds and thousands of Shanikas and Treys and Seans, and we know that even in this body there is sickness and there has been death, and we need comfort, and we need you to show up in a mighty way. This is why we prayed in the beginning that this wouldn't just be an intellectual exercise, but that by your Spirit you would show up and encourage hearts, that you would remind us that we are yours and you are ours. We thank you so much, Lord, for what you are doing in this church. We thank you for what you're going to do. And we thank you that you are so accessible, that you love us, and that you hear our cries. Hear the cries of the hearts in this building today, for all the things are crying out. And save those who are crying out for salvation. And may this be a day they look back and to say, God showed up and saved my soul. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in today. We'd love to have you come worship with us in person at 300 Westminster Road, Reisterstown, Maryland, 21136. Also, be sure to check out our church's website at nwbcmd.org to find out what else we're doing and how to get plugged in.